All right, Shalom, and God bless you. Welcome back to Ask the Pastor. Okay, this is saying Shalom to the Bright TV crew. There was once a question asked by a lady on this platform, and I wish to counteract in the response. The question was, can a sister give her trousers to a friend after converting? And Deuteronomy 14:21 was given as the answer, okay? When I was meditating on the same question, I noticed further light based on Deuteronomy 14:21. That Deuteronomy 14:21 can only be applied if the person you wish to give you trousers is not a Christian. The Israelites have to give to others because their laws wasn't universal. We can't give to any Christian because the person who is to receive is still under the same law of not being allowed to wear trousers. How will you preach to such a person to abstain from trousers when you are the one promoting her by giving her her own trousers? Okay, that was your contribution to the question that was asked by the lady. Sir, I don't know if you want to add or do we just go straight
to
the
question? The last statement you made before the question. Let's read it again.
Okay, the last statement says, how will you preach to such a person to abstain from trousers when you are the one from
our sermon? You don't preach to unbeliever to stop smoking, to stop drinking. That's teaching, that's morality. Okay. We preach Christ. Okay. We don't preach to people don't wear trousers. That's not what we preach. We preach salvation through Christ. Yes. That is what we are preaching. But when you now accept Christ, then we'll tell you how to live as a Christian. Same. You don't wear trousers. Okay. And of course, I don't expect that somebody will take what you don't like and give it to somebody. Yeah. You know, we're only saying what the Lord had spoken to let you know that these things don't belong to us. It belongs to some other people. So if you take something that does not belong to you, return it to who it belongs to. That's all.
All right, so we move to the questions, and question one says, who named the apostles Christians in Acts 11:26? And where can we get the meaning from when the name or when they were named? So Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
First and foremost, who is a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Christ. Amen. A believer of Christ. Amen. If you are associated with the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are called a Christian. So, these were a group of people that were certainly propagating the gospel of Christ. So, the people see them, to identify them, they will be called by what they are known by. That is how they were called in Antioch, Christians. Christians means these are followers of Jesus Christ, believing and teaching what Christ taught. I don't know why. What is the importance of that question?
That question? Because I could look at it from the angle of a Nigerian from Nigeria. You have a link to that. America. So Christian.
Well, the whole thing is it's about identity. I mean, there's some people believing and preaching and continuing what Christ did. So they say they are Christian. They are Christ-like. They're followers of Jesus Christ. Okay. Every follower of Jesus Christ is called a Christian.
Okay. Which rest is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 10, referring to?
It's the Holy Ghost.
Okay. And also saying, I understand it as the comfort that is in Christ when one has found grace.
That is why I say it's the Holy Ghost.
All right. So God bless you, Brother Jim Ganimex, rather, from the Emirates. God bless you. So we have another question coming in, and this is greetings, Pastor Moses, same Ganimex, okay, from Cameroon, but based in Dubai. I'm grateful being your online member and a partaker of most of the TV shows. I came in contact with the end time message in 2020, May of 2020. I was a Baptist who have been for 15 years without attending any church because I found many false preaching after going through most of the denominational churches. I've discovered many times I get a revelation. It takes not long for me to hear you preach it. The guy that brought me to the message has found it hard to understand me much of this revelation. To understand with me much of this revelation, but has confirmed much of them when he hear you preach it. He's more concentrated in sermons from the prophet, as I do less study about the prophet. I want to share with you this thought of mine, James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And faith without work equals dead, meaning revelation without work is dead, meaning revelation plus work equals grace. And revelation equals knowledge of God revealed, while work is equals response of man after receiving God's revelation. Grace equals solution to man after receiving revelation plus the response, which is work. Shalom.
God bless you. It's a good contribution. That's right. You got it very well.
All right. So God bless you, Brother Ganimex from Dubai. God bless you. And thank you for sending in your feedback and also your contribution. Okay, we have this saying, Shalom and good evening, Pastor Moses, and to you, my brother. We say Shalom to you as well. My question is this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. For I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committed adultery. Sir, perchance a man chases or catches his wife, rather, in adultery and divorces her because of that act. I want to ask, can he marry another wife?
Sure.
Okay. And question two says, sir, I want to know how you got your calculation of the day of the Lord to be 75 days, according to your message, the divine timetable of God, preached on the 6th of May, 2011. Brother Goswin from Imo State.
Okay, let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12.
Yes.
From verse 11.
Daniel chapter 12 from verse 11. And it says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days.
Now, before then, let's go to verse 7.
Okay, verse 7 says, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that he shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished.
Then verse 11.
Verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination.
Now from the time that the daily sacrifice will be taken away, which is supposed to be, remember that it is from the covenant is supposed to be for 1 week, that is 7 years. Yes. Now, in the middle of it, that is after 3.5 years, the covenant is broken and the desolation and that take place. Yes. Now, it said what? Verse
11. Yes. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that make it desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days.
Now, the remaining 3.5 years to make the 1 week, the remaining 3.5 years is 1260 days, 30 days in a month. Correct?
Yes.
Now, but here he is now saying, from the time that the daily sacrifice have taken away and the abomination that making this set up, there shall be 1290 days. So there is 30 days
extra.
Then he went further.
Verse 12, blessed is he that waited and cometh to the 1,305 days.
How many days extra they are added?
That's 45.
45 days. 45 more days again. Why he say waited? Because what he say that blessing is he that will survive.
Five,
So the period therefore is 75 days. That's where I got my calculation.
Okay. Okay, we have a call, and this call is from Brother Christian from Netherlands.
My member from
from the Netherlands.
My co-teacher. Hello. My co-teacher from the Netherlands, Brother Christian. God bless you.
Hello, shalom, sir.
You are welcome.
Good evening.
Yeah, any thank new wine? Any new wine for me today?
Yes, I do have one, sir.
Okay. New wine, new revelation for me. Share it with me. Share it with me now.
So last week, a brother asked a question, and the question was why white people do not identify with your ministry. Would you permit me to respond to that brother?
What was the question? Why he would do what?
Why do white people not
identify white, yes.
Because he said he doesn't see them on the program.
Yes.
So if you would permit me to respond to that brother,
please
in
do.
Addition to your own response.
Please do.
So I think the essence is not for the world to gather and watch Pastor Moses basically changing from one denomination to another. Rather, the question ought to be the impact and the effect of the messages. So, Pastor, let me encourage you and your team that people are listening, including white people. And I give an example, a church I used to attend here, which is relatively large, and if I can call it a white church. There was civil war there because a brother there who happened to be white listened to a message of yours, and he forwarded it to other brethren, and as I said, it led to civil war. So finally, the church leadership got to find out about it, and they wielded the big hammer to quell the unrest. And I think that brother actually had to leave that church, but the brother was a white brother. In fact, they do listen, and that's the point I was trying to make here. And I know some pastors among the circles in the entire message who listen, and they tease me sometimes because they know I follow your ministry. So I don't think it's much more as you say that racism plays a part, because to be honest, I don't think racism can stand in the program of God, and we prove that with William Seymour and even locally, you see T.B. Joshua and the rest of them, they have white people there. But back to the brother's observation regarding your ministry, I can think of one major reason why this is the case. And it boils down to me to presentation. And the thing is, many of the brothers here who have wronged with your message, they've opened up churches, but to be honest, many of them have run with a zeal, but not according to revelation of how to catch fish. They've presented themselves basically as branches, while they always keep pointing to Lagos Church, and they keep pointing, it's a denominational hangover that many of them have, and the state of this message cannot back that up. And that's just the truth, I can give example. For example, you were in Germany, I think a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I was there, and it was time for the praise and worship. And this brother there is starting to sing the Igbo. And I look around me, and most of the people there are not even Nigerian. And so I have to go and tell the brother, can you switch up the song? Because people are grumbling around there, And so they present themselves to be this branch of a Nigerian church. And I can also think of an example of a church I used to go to here as well, a brother, And the brother there, the church, you go there, you see white people sitting down. They're singing Nigerian songs. The brother's not even Nigerian. That's even the funny thing, But then they're singing Nigerian songs. All the professions that you think that Africans or West Africans can be. Your village people, your youth, and people think they can't relate to these types of things. So that's why I call it a presentation thing. So in summary, these churches position themselves only to attract Africans, specifically West Africans, and they just act as a collection point for people who have already been converted by your message, because I personally know that the gospel you preach has impact. I speak to my colleagues about it. The Bible, and not because I don't reference you or even William Branham, but just the revelation that we get from your preaching, and they are amazed about, at the level of revelation. I think this is what's missing, You know, these are some of the things I think you can discuss in the upcoming ministers' conference.
Amen.
And it can help with the presentation of the gospel better.
Thank you very much. I agree with you. I agree with you totally. In Brother Assembly here, we're having a lot of problem with getting them to acknowledge that we are not just a local church here, we are connected worldwide, and there is need for us to use the international language that other people can also join to worship. It is very difficult to establish that same denominational spirit, but God will help us.
I understand that you do that there because that's your local church.
Yeah, but we are no longer local. We are no longer local when the whole world is getting connected.
Indeed.
The world is now becoming a global village where we are all interconnected like that. Imagine you are in Netherlands now, you are part of the program that is going on here in Lagos.
Indeed.
And you are connected. Indeed. And so if it is time to worship and you want to join us in worship, you have to switch off because we start singing Igbo language. So you won't join us because you don't understand what we're saying. And we are addressing that even as a local church, we're addressing it. We will sing in all languages, but we will also take cognizance of our other followers who are non-Nigerians and non-Igbos especially. Fortunately, here in Lagos, majority of the workers and even members are Igbos. But God will help us to leave Igbo language and go to other languages. Thank you very much. You yourself, you are an Igbo man.
To that brother from a European perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not as you think it is. I know personally from personal experience.
Yeah. God bless you. The brother that sent that to the church, was he white?
He was white.
It's white, the one that...
Yes, indeed. I mean, he sent it to other people. He forwarded it to other people. Like I said, it caused a civil war.
Civil war. That is it. Indeed. Brother Abraham, I'm sorry, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one that made that statement. You cannot put new wine in old bottles. It will break.
Indeed.
Thank you for that contribution, Brother Christian.
We appreciate you.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Christian, and God bless you. Okay, shalom to Daddy Pastor Moses Alu, and shalom to Brother Godson. I'm happy because I'm one of them. So my question goes like this. In the book of Revelation chapter 13 from verse 1 to 10, it talks of the first beast, which is the Catholic Church, and Revelation 13 verse 11 to 18. Talk of the second beast, which is America. It also says that he will be the one that gives the mark. Please, more light. This is from Brother Ernest from Taraba State.
No, the first beast, I don't know where you got that Catholic Church from. The first
beast, from 1 to 13. Says, and I stood upon the sand, from verse 1, Revelation 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy.
Now, why do you say that is Catholic Church? That tells you that is the beast ruling Europe. That is the power, the satanic power that is ruling Europe. And those seven heads and 10 horns, they are all the nations that make up the European Union, not Catholic Church. So what's the second, what did he say?
It also says that he will be the one that gives the mark. So
now,
it asks
now
which
from
of
verse
them
11, right?
Yes, verse 11.
And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And from that description, we see it as America, knowing the history of how America came up. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like
a dragon.
And he exercised all the power of the first beast, the European power, before him, and caused the earth and them which dwelt therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. It restored the power, the strength of Europe. Mm-hmm. It was wounded. You see, this beast was wounded during the Second World War. Mm-hmm. We heard about the Marshall Plan. Mm-hmm. We heard about, it was America that helped to bring back Europe back to her economic strength. And he doeth great wonders so that he make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And we say all this is nothing but the firepower, you know, weaponry, weapon arsenals of the U.S. And deceiving them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast. And we say, you see, the whole thing is mixed up there when you look at it. You look at the papacy was also wounded and yet liveth. There's a description of it. There is the Europe again, that their power, their strength was actually wounded by the Second World War, the effect of the Second World War. And we know from history the part America played to restore, help restore back the economy of Europe. Now, here we hear, we're saying that, verse 14 again, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. That is why I say, when you look at you look at the beast, we're looking at the power there. It was operating through the political Europe and also through the religious Europe. There was the control of Europe through the papacy. Maybe that is where this comes in.
Yes.
Now, what is the image that will be raised to make an image to the beast? Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto that image. The image that is raised to the beast. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And we say, this is nothing but the World Council of Churches. From history and from what is going on, what is empowering it is from America. It's all part of this agenda. And so, if you say America, yes, if I'm answering that question, America is the one that we cause the influence of the world, you know, give respect back to that beast again. To Europe, but this time it is religious Europe. It is the spiritual Europe, religious Europe, using religion. And I believe that it is the World Council of Churches that will bring all the churches together to look up to the Vatican. And it is going on now. That is how I understand it.
All right. Let's take this call from Brother Joseph from Dubai. Brother Joseph, God bless you.
Thank you. Shalom, Pastor Moses.
Shalom, God bless you.
Oh, it's a blessing for me to hear from you today. Let me go straight to my question. Please, I have, I need a clarification on 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The place, because it talks about the person where Apostle Paul asked that we should pray and deliver the person to Satan for the destruction of the flesh and for the saving of the soul. Because I've been having an argument with a brother from a different faith, saying that this brother whom Apostle Paul was talking about actually was not born again, meaning didn't have eternal life. But I say he has eternal life, because if Apostle Paul declared that his body be handed over to Satan for destruction, for the saving of the soul, it therefore means he had eternal life.
You are correct.
And but this brother keep on saying that no.
I'm saying you are correct. I agree with you. And, okay, and remember that in Second Corinthians chapter 2, in Second Corinthians chapter 2, and if you read it from verse 5, by verse 7, he was restored.
Okay.
Let's read it.
Okay, Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says, but if any have caused grief, he had not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many.
Now he's referring to that man that was excommunicated in 1 Corinthians.
So that contrary-wise, ye ought rather to forgive
him. He said he should be forgiven.
And comfort him.
Yes.
Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow.
Okay, then, Pastor, second question.
So he was even restored. So if he was not born again, he would not be taken as a brother and be restored. Your next question.
Okay. Yeah, I followed the works of grace, the four works of grace, which is revelation, justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the
Holy Spirit. True follower.
I was speaking with a brother. This brother, really, if there's a possibility for him to break my head, he will do so. Because they even go to the point of calling me Satan, that I don't know the scripture, that I am bringing ideas from my head. I brought the take on the teachings of the four works of grace, which you recently went through.
Yes.
But it is, brother cannot accept it. He says that we are all false, we are being misled. So I don't know. Is it that he's a test or he's a weed which is still to come to his senses?
Well, unto you it is given. Your eye has been opened. Mm-hmm. His own is not yet opened. But there's something I want to call your attention to. 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 15.
Okay, from verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Then he added, but.
But shun profane and vain babblings.
What will they increase to?
For they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Because all you will do there is just argue and argue. There's nothing beneficial to you. The person has locked up his heart from any further study. So I don't go to argue the word with anybody. If I show you something you have that is clear, you don't see it, I don't go any further. I know that we cannot flow at the same level. I'll try my best. The next thing, if I love you so much, I pray for you and hope that God will somehow make you to see it. God bless you.
Okay, Pastor. Thank you. The third question.
Okay.
Oh, my, you know, I was brought up from the family, from the Catholic background. But the Lord opened my eyes in the year 2018. That was when I started following you. Mm-hmm. But I have been having a lot of challenges, especially with my mom. When I preach to her this gospel, it seems as if she should just have me well beaten up. And she tells me that, how can I fall away from the right way that I was thrown? I told her, no, Mama, that is not the right way. The right way is this. Let's go through the scripture. And the problem is, they always ask me, do I claim to know more than those people who have gone to school to study to become priests?
Yes.
Right, Joseph. I think we lost the call.
Oh, we have lost that call. Oh, I wish he will.
Finish up.
Because it's not just him. It's, it's so many other people fall under the same category. The truth about it is, which school did Peter go to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God in Matthew 16? Jesus told him that flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So The knowledge of who Christ is not gotten from a school. Mm-hmm. It is gotten by the Spirit of God. You note that in Luke chapter 10 and verse 22. Mm-hmm. So, no one knows who the Son is but the Father. No one knows who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal it. Mm-hmm. You see? So we take note of that. It's okay that the spirit of religion is like you leaving PDP to go to APC. That's all they know. But when it comes to Christianity, it is about revelation, mm-hmm. not the school you have attended. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
So we'll move on to other questions. And this is from Ebere from Anambra State, Nigeria. Says, good evening, Pastor, and Shalom. You said whoever is saved and forever, he or she is saved. That is internally the person is saved. So I want to know if that person continue living in sin, will he or she inherit heaven just because he or she is saved?
The scripture in 1 John chapter 2.
Okay.
Now, verse 18. First John chapter 3, verse 9. I'm sorry.
Okay, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Whosoever is born of God
does not commit sin.
Why?
For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
So, what is that question again?
If that person continue living in sin, will he or she inherit heaven?
So it's not possible for you to be saved and continue living in sin. That you are living in sin is evidence that you are not saved. If you are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, you have no pleasure in sin. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. Barry from Anambra State. And that answers the question. All right, we have this from Cameroon, Bamenda Cameroon, and this is Brother Allen. He says, Shalom, Shalom. Please, Pastor, how does someone know that he or she has the Holy Ghost? How do someone know that he or she is saved?
How do you know? The Bible says, the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Mm-hmm. That is answered. And something inside of you that gives you that assurance, you will know.
Yeah.
And what is this? What's the other one?
That one is saved.
No, the first part.
The first one was the Holy Ghost. How do you know you have the Holy Ghost? And the second one is how do you know
you are saved? It is a three. That's why I say I've answered the second one.
Okay.
The first one is a tree is known by her fruit.
Okay.
So by their fruit, we will know them.
Amen.
There is the fruit of the Spirit. And then the works of the flesh.
Okay. Yeah.
So how do I know I have this? The spirit is not, a tree is not known by her leaves.
Amen.
That is the gift. That is the anointing.
Mm.
That is religion.
Mm-hmm.
A Christian is known by the fruit of the spirit that lives in you.
Amen.
And the fruit does not include vision.
Mm.
Does not include faith.
Amen.
The fruit does not include the healing, deliverance, prophecy, speaking in tongues. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. They are the gift of the Spirit. And the gift of the Spirit can come on both those who are saved and those who are not saved.
Amen.
Believers and unbelievers. Psalm 68 verse 18 confirms it. Given his gift even to the rebellious.
Amen.
So, there are this difference between the anointing of the Spirit of God and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it will surprise you that many Christians that are used today are not saved. Anointed but not saved. You may be anointed, may be operating a perfect gift, and you may not be saved. How do I know? By the fruit we see you display. We know the Spirit of God in you will not allow you to live that type of life. Mm. You lie anyhow, and nothing checks you. It's part of you. You lie. It's because there is a lying spirit in you that you are displaying.
Mm.
You live a life of, you do all, you fornicate, you all the nonsense that are going on in the world. and nothing is checking you, keeping you uncomfortable to make you repent, is evidence you have not yet received the Holy Ghost. Yet, and please, yet you are anointed. Listen, no sin you ever commit affects the gift you have, affects the anointing. And this is where a lot of people miss it and think that the gift you operate is evidence of salvation. It's not. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And it is there in Galatians chapter 5. Let's read it for the purpose of just emphasis from verse 19.
Okay. Yeah.
What did he say?
Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication.
Can you see those who are, yes?
Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like.
Now verse 22.
Verse 22. But the fruit of
the Spirit
is love.
Love.
Joy. Uh-huh. Peace. Uh-huh. Long-suffering. Uh-huh. Gentleness. Uh-huh. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law.
There's no law. And verse 24 and 25.
24 and 25 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affliction, with their affections and lusts. Mm-hmm. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
And then Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21.
Okay, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21.
Yes.
It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, uh-huh, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Go on.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
We exercise the gift.
And in thy name have cast out devils.
Anointing.
And in thy name done many wonderful
works. Miracle signs are wonder, but what will he say?
And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you.
Why?
Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity.
You see? So, the gift is different from the fruit. The anointing is different from the anointer.
Amen.
You have to understand that. The anointer, the anointing in you. In fact, the anointing is not even in you, it's on you. Is the Spirit of God on you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God in you. I don't know if
God touch every aspect.
God will use anything, including any animal, for his purpose. So he sees you readily available, and then he uses you by giving you the gift. And people think that means you are saved. No, you are not saved. You can be a servant of God and not be a son of God. But you can be both a servant of God and a son of God. That's what I desire to be.
Amen.
I'm sure you
can. Amen, sir. Amen. All right. We have Brother Victor on the line. Brother Victor from Port Harcourt.
Shalom, sir. Shalom, sir. Shalom, bro.
Shalom, and God bless you, sir.
Please, during the last rapture watch on Saturday, there was something a pastor said that I really want to understand.
Yes.
He said the Antichrist will be revealed by the ministry of the two holy priests, Moses and Elijah.
Yes.
So my question now is, will they be on ground before the rapture?
If according to Apostle Paul, if the man of sin will be revealed before the rapture, and we know that the ministry that will be used to reveal, remember that it will be revealed, first be revealed to the Jews.
Yes.
And so we place it within that period, certainly before the Antichrist takes root. Certainly there are activities that will come up before even those two prophets will be recognized.
Okay.
I believe that within that period, this thing is not some long period, but certainly things will happen. You can see with the Internet of Things, in real time, we are seeing things happening on daily basis, on hourly basis around the world.
Yes, sir.
And so I believe like Apostle Paul said, somehow we will get to know who he is. And we know that that is part of the job of the two prophets in Revelation chapter 11.
Oh,
yes.
Because why you said I try to place it and look at it's like maybe their presence will be part of the thing that will also give us a rapture increase.
I believe that too.
Mm-hmm.
I believe all that.
Right. I just want to be sure that we are on the same page.
You are correct, my brother Victor.
All right, thank you very much, sir.
Okay, this is Shalom, sir. I thank God for your life and what he's doing, what he's using you to do. Please, I have some questions. And question one says, the tree in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 symbolizes what? Genesis 3, verse 22.
Are you sure?
That's what the person wrote. The person says,
is
and
that
the
scripture?
Yes, that's the scripture the person placed there.
Yeah, what is it? What
and the Lord God said, behold, the man is among okay. us as one of us to okay. know good and evil. And yes. now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life yes. and eat and live forever. So he's asking, what tree
what
is that?
What tree is that? Remember in Revelation chapter 2, there is a promise for the overcomers of that age.
Yes. Okay, verse 7.
Yes.
And he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. Yes. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
So, it is that same tree.
Okay.
What is the tree? Tree is a source that will give you a fruit that when you eat, you will have life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, and the tree there, remember there were two trees there,
yes.
Three sets of trees actually, the one for food.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one that is for the knowledge of good and evil, and there's the one that is tree of life.
Yes.
So these three, they call it their sources.
Mm.
There's a source of knowledge of good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a source of life,
mm-hmm.
eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is just the source. And of course, it is the word of God
mm-hmm.
and the word of Satan.
Okay.
Satan is flowing through him knowledge that will lead you to trouble. And he did it through the serpent mm-hmm. and we fell into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The tree of life is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ is the, he says, is the resurrection and the life. Is the life giver. Eternal life comes through Christ.
Mm.
So it is a source of eternal life. God bless you.
All right. Question two from same person says, please, the oil and wine in these following verses mean what? Joel chapter 1, verse 10.
Revival. Nothing okay. more. It's revival.
Okay. And why must
revival that comes by the Spirit of God.
Okay, and why must communion wine be alcoholic?
Because alcohol is a preservative. It has to, everything about communion has to have a pointer to the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So, the ordinance says the bread must be unleavened bread without yeast.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeast corrupts,
okay.
like sin corrupts,
mm.
and in him was no sin.
Mm.
So the bread, which was a type of his body, must be without yeast. Purity. So also, the wine there must not just be red in color for blood, but there is something in the blood of Jesus Christ that preserves our life, which is what alcohol, the preservative, does.
Okay.
There is eternal life in his blood
Amen.
That preserves us.
Amen.
So so alcohol preserves the wine. So that is what it types. Must have some percentage of alcohol for it to be linked to the blood of Jesus Christ.
All right. Question four from the same person. Can a Christian enjoy watching wrestling with his children?
You know, when you say enjoy watching wrestling,
mm.
what you are saying actually, you are asking me is, can a Christian enjoy watching a fellow human being being tormented? That's what you are asking me. And now you are not only watching alone, you are now recruiting your children. to watch that barbaric action. So you answer it yourself. Can a normal human being be excited to see a fellow human being being tortured and tormented? Blood coming out, falling out. And they say, yeah. One of the worst sports that exists on earth is boxing.
All right, question five. That should be the last question, I think, from the same person.
Nobody with the spirit of God will enjoy. In fact, not just spirit of God, no normal human being will enjoy that. Hey, we that love boxing. And you say we are not normal. You are not normal, look. You're not normal. What kind of sport is that? You are torturing somebody and they are getting excited. There's something, let's say, certainly that spirit is. Oh, but Brother Abraham enjoyed. Is Brother Abraham the Holy Ghost? William Abraham the Holy Ghost? William Abraham also enjoyed killing game. They call it game.
Hunting.
Hunting game. It's not everything he killed that he ate. So if you are hunting to eat, that's okay. If he hunted to eat, that is okay. But just because William Brown loved boxing does not make boxing right.
All right.
Are you saying that? So Brother Brown was committing sin. I'm talking about Jesus. You're talking about William Brown. If you have the spirit of William Brown, you will love boxing. I have the spirit of Christ. Christ will not allow me. Love. Can you be happy to see somebody being tortured, hit down, he faints on the ground. Hey, give him. Something is wrong with your head. If I'm president of a country, that's a sport I will least promote. In fact, I will tactically withdraw it. They will not hear about it in my country. God bless you.
Okay, question five, what is the difference between the word of wisdom and knowledge?
The word of wisdom.
Wisdom and knowledge.
The word of wisdom has more to do with problem solving. That's wisdom. Mm. Because there will be problem in the church. Mm. And that gift will solve it.
Mm. The word of knowledge.
And the word of knowledge, of course, it is ability to know something from God. Mm. And it comes through vision, through dream, audible voice, or inspiration. Mm-hmm. It is called the word of knowledge.
All right, question six. I have been longing for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it seems to be delayed. Does it mean I'm not a heavenly candidate? And these questions all came from Sister Felicia from Abidjan.
No, you are not. You are a seed of God. The fact that you desire it, an atheist will not desire even to go to church. Mm. You are desiring to have eternal life. That hunger comes from God, and blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Always we receive everything by faith, and sometimes God answers our appropriate time. We have assurance that if we ask, he will give us, in Luke chapter 11 verse 13.
And it says, and if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
That scripture is enough for me. Keep asking. Like you ask for any other thing. It's like a young girl that is believing God for marriage and is praying for her husband, and the husband doesn't come. Does it mean God has ordained me that I will not be with a husband? No. You're ordained to be with a man, for it is not good that a man be alone. No. And you, for every daughter of God, there is a son of God, but for husband. But you keep praying. The fact that the husband has not come does not mean that you are destined to be with a husband. You keep believing, and the right time, God will bring that man. He's been preparing for you.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you. We're going to go on a break. And when we're right back, it's Ask the Pastor. Don't touch the dial.